KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your host for Chatterbox.
So Molly and I got to play The Move.
So I heard.
Did we ever actually play together?
I don't think we did, because I think every time I played The Move, you were filming.
Yeah, that's true. I just try to film everything that Molly does, really.
That's creepy.
It's important that we get that video footage up on the website. Nobody wants to stare at Belial and Bjorn.
Everything, huh?
Yep, pretty much. In fact, it's a good thing that you didn't stay over, because there would have been sleeping footage of Molly.
Oh, yeah, that is good.
Instead, we only got sleeping footage of Hines and Corey.
No.
You miss out, man, by not coming to these Golgatron things. It's fun times.
Well, invite me one time and maybe I'll come.
You are welcome every weekend.
Okay,
every Saturday.
Let me know, before Saturday.
All right.
And I'll try to make
I'll let you know right now, Saturday. Saturday at Rich's house.
What time Saturday?
Anytime.
I get there at, 3.
Party time.
Other people get there at, 8.
Okay. All right.
People That's don't even cool. leave till 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning.
Appreciate the invitation.
Yeah. All right. So, we played The Move. If you're curious to see how we played The Move, you can watch the video at Golgatron.com. Corey certainly had a lot more fun with it, I think, than anybody else.
I can see that.
As evidenced by the video.
And, that was funny for about 0.7 seconds.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
And then,
0.7 seconds.
And then after that, it was not funny.
You know, I have to say that I'm very jealous of Corey because he can dance very well. He's got the whole gyrating hips thing that, a chick typically has when she dances, when she gets really drunk and she starts moving her hips and stuff. I don't get that. I don't have that at all. I don't know how to dance.
Molly's crushing on Corey.
So you're
I'm just jealous of his chick dance moves.
You're basically saying that he has a voluptuous girl-like lower torso.
Yes.
There you go.
All right. Well, if you want to know about The Move, you perhaps should ask someone who played more of it than we did. We only got access to the one game that it comes with, the Sports Champions or whatever.
Wii Sports.
Called. Basically Wii Sports.
And so you guys, you don't seem to be too impressed.
Well, no, I'm very excited by the hardware, but I knew going into it that there wasn't going to be anything truly interesting to play when it first came
out. Right, but it's it's total one-to-one action.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty close.
It's a question of whether or not they programmed it to accept that.
Right.
The game with the most potential is the game that turned out the most poor, the gladiator game, right? Where you you fight, you swing your sword, and whatever.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Why so crappy? can you summarize?
I think they just didn't take
perhaps?
The time to really, really do what it needs.
Right, but
I'd like to think that you could swing the controller quickly and have your virtual representation in the game swing just as quickly and in the same direction, right? But that's not how it works.
Right.
It does know, if you do a vertical swing, bopping somebody in the head, or if you do a low swing, sweeping their feet, stuff like that. So it's not totally horrible. It's not like the original Red Steel or whatever.
Right.
Are you
just, triggering moves based on gestures? Is that how it seems to work, or is it using some other system?
In the Gladiator game, I'm pretty confident it's not like you lower your hand an inch and it lowers the character's hand an inch. It's not like that.
Right.
And you can just flail wildly and the person's arm doesn't flail wildly in the game. And that's the sort of thing I want. There should be some gameplay element that makes that, gives you negative feedback for doing so, but it could allow it.
Like the slow knife move like in Dune or something. Like the slow blade penetrates
I'm not familiar with Dune, but
slow blade penetrates the shield.
Okay. Does it?
Yeah. That's what she said too.
Well, it does take into account force, so it takes off more hit points from the person if you swing harder.
Well, that's good.
Right. So that at least makes sense. Whereas the Wii, I don't know if the Wii takes into account, but they're just using wooden
Not
sticks
as much,
and
probably.
Yeah,
well,
and headgear and stuff.
When I played the Zelda Skyward Sword Demo D3, the motions were really, really one-to-one at that point. It was the Wii Motion Plus that you have to play with the game. But I mean, it was as you were explaining earlier. Any time that you would like twist your wrist, you would see the wrist, like Link's wrist on screen, twist along with yours. So it was very one to one. And like you could just totally, you know, flail your arm. I'm flailing my arms like a crazy person. But you could flail your arm and it would flail in the game and it would match your movements perfectly in real life.
Yeah, and as evidenced by the video that we put up on Golgatron, at one point Corey is flailing wildly with the ping pong game. And
5 points.
It follows pretty well with him, you know, running his hand around everywhere.
His paddle was perpetually.
Yeah, it was all over the place. So, but the Gladiator game has a lot of limitations, and I'm assuming for gameplay reasons. But if they had given it more time, they could have developed it in a better way, so that it would allow you that freedom of motion, and you know, not turned it into just like a kindergarten hissy fit.
So, okay, so question two: are you going to buy any Move games?
Oh, certainly. I just have to find out that one is good.
The good one.
Well, yes.
Yeah, but you don't have like any in mind.
Honestly,
like,
I didn't even research what games are available.
Yeah.
If the boxing game, like as I understand it, there's some boxing game, but I don't know if it's out yet.
The
or not.
Fight. I don't think it's out yet. Actually, if you connect to the PlayStation Network, you go to their store. They should have. I believe they have a section of demos that are available for upcoming Move games or games that are compatible.
You know
with
what we
Move.
Forgot? It came with a demo disc. We never even tried it.
Oh really?
Yeah, I haven't even opened it yet. But
You know what else came out today?
I am excited for it. Civilization V?
Yeah. You know what else came out today?
Civilization V.
And other than that?
It's a Tuesday, so... Prince of Persia on Blu-ray came out.
No, that doesn't count.
That's video game related.
You'll never guess. I'll just tell you. Formula One 2010 by Codemasters.
So, Civilization V?
It's going to be fantastic. Look, I don't care about Civilization 5. It's a fantastic game, but I have no interest in playing it right now.
Okay.
But Formula One,
oh my gosh.
Let me tell you something about Codemasters, okay? Because I've been playing a lot of different racing games over the past week. I've been going back to, starting actually, Gran Turismo 5 Prologue, right? And there's a lot of things that are infuriating me about a lot of racing games. And I always go back to the Codemasters games, like Dirt and Grid. Because those games, and I don't know if F1's going to hold up to this, but those games, in terms of playability, are the most accessible and the most real feeling out of all of the realistically portrayed racing games
that
I've ever played.
You just mixed two ideas, accessible and realistic.
Totally. No, I didn't say realistic. I said real feeling.
Okay. What does real feeling mean if not realistic?
It means that I feel like if I do the things that are right in racing, which is taking the proper line, braking at the correct point, and all these things, and if I do them better, I feel like I'm actually getting better at the game and my lap times actually do improve.
And other games don't do that?
Not necessarily. Well, some games, you know, like in Ridge Racer, you never really brake. Unless you want to initiate a drift, and once you're, you know, the last Ridge Racer, once you're drifting, it basically fixes your angle to force it to follow the curvature, and you can only adjust your rate that you're turning at relative to. Anyway, it's complicated, but it's not doesn't feel like it's real. It's good in its own right, right?
So it's more of an arcade racer that just keeps you on the track.
Yeah, these games, right? The thing that sucks about Forza and Gran Turismo are that they're unless you turn on all their Mickey Mouse assists, which you shouldn't be doing anyway, unless you turn them on, it's basically treating your controller like you're driving a real car with a controller, which means that instead of having, like, for example, half a foot of range of motion to control your throttle with, right? You have what, like a millimeter or something, right? Instead of having like, it's just bad. But Codemasters, I don't know what they do, I don't know how they do it, but they just do it so beautifully. It's just this amazing combination of accessibility and depth in long term play, and you actually feel like
motion blur.
And no, not motion. The motion blur. Don't even get me started about motion blur, man. But
I know that you're a big fan.
Yeah, you're just bringing that up just to piss me off.
Well, so did you get the new Formula game?
No, I'm not. No, I'm going to get it later. Get it. Okay. Later.
Talks it up so much and doesn't even go.
Well, you know what? I just found out it came out today at like 4 p.m. today.
That's like 5 hours. You could have gone and purchased it.
I could have. You're absolutely right.
So let me tell you about my purchase experience with the PlayStation Move.
I'm very curious.
I really want
to discuss.
I'm very curious
to hear this.
We got a couple of minutes. I can probably squeeze this in. So I think to myself, I want to get this PlayStation Move thing, but I'm always very cognizant of where I spend my money. I don't want to go to Walmart. I don't really like GameStop if I can avoid them. So where should I go? And this Fry's Electronics place that isn't everywhere in the world, but it's in the Southwest, and there's some in Phoenix. I thought, okay, I'll do that. In fact, I even have a gift card someone gave me for my birthday like 6 months ago. So that'll be great. And so I go to Fry's, and first thing you see when you walk into this store is a big old standee for PlayStation Move. Great. So I try to go to their video game section. They've totally moved to another side of the store, so it takes me forever to figure that out. I go there. There's a bunch more material relating to the PlayStation Move. So I think, oh, great. But then there's a bunch of empty shelf space. So I think to myself, oh, not great. They must be out of this PlayStation Move, this new hardware thing that everyone apparently loves so much, right? Weird, by the way, they have a million PlayStation Eye cameras, you know, by themselves, but not which is required for PlayStation Move, but it's not no other accessory related to PlayStation Move is there. But they've got like the materials, the cardboard, the pamphlets, all that stuff saying that you should buy it. So in desperation, before I leave, thinking that they're out of stock, I decide I should ask someone just to make sure. And I ask, and she says, well, let me check. Finds out, okay, you got to go over there to the cage in the corner. So first idiotic move, like they have all this advertising for the Move, but you can't actually buy it unless you go to the corner and ask somebody where they're not displayed.
Yeah,
you can't even see that they're there.
That's their test to see if you're a true fan or not.
Apparently.
If you really want it, then you'll seek it out.
So I want to get it, and she pulls out, and as she's pulling it out, I know exactly what's going on. It's not just the PlayStation Move bundle, which is the Move controller, you know, the one with the colored globe on it, the PlayStation Eye camera, and the Sports Champion game in one bundle. It's that encased in a special plastic box that also has three other games packaged with it. And Fry's is notorious for this, but I had forgotten.
That's a pretty big bundle.
Their new hardware, they bundle together. You want to buy a new Xbox 360 or a new PlayStation 3, you know, the first few months it comes out,
yeah.
You got to package it with a bunch of other crap. And
they're forcing you to buy bundles with this thing, huh?
Yeah, PlayStation Move, but it only costs $100 for the bundle. It costs $50 or $60 for a game, depending on what game you're buying, right? So if they packaged it with three games, they more than doubled the cost to the user. Yeah. Whereas you buy a PlayStation 3, you add a controller in a game, it's a little bit more expensive. You're probably going to do it anyway. But this more than doubled the cost of the package.
Sounds infuriating.
So I was just like, oh, yeah, thanks. No. Goodbye. So I walked out and then I thought, wait a minute, I've got a gift card and I need to buy an extra controller so I could go in and buy just the controller accessory and then get the bundle elsewhere. Guess what? They didn't even have that. They only had the bundles.
There you go.
So if you want to go to Fry's, you want to play multiplayer, you're going to have to buy two bundles of four or six games that you don't even want. All right, we'll be right back.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
And we have returned. That's right. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
And I'm not done my story.
No, you are definitely not done your story.
I'm not. No. So I said, Fry's. They didn't have the accessory controller for me, but it gets better, right? They didn't have it, but the guy who was there trying to sell the bundle, right? If you happen to ask for it, says, actually, Sony did something really shady. Sony did something really shady.
No.
You see, they only released the accessory controllers, anything other than the bundle, to like five different companies, like Walmart, Best Buy, Target, whatever. So you can go to one of those
stores
and get it.
Not Fry's, in other words.
But we didn't get any, he says. And I said, you know, I can't remember what I said, but it was something to the effect of, you know, so they did something shady, kind of like bundling the bundle with a bunch of other games.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Right. So after going in there a second time trying to get the accessory controller, I just didn't get anything. And then I had to go to Target. And I freaking hate Target. You know, I boycott Target because they screwed me with the Xbox 360 5 years ago.
You shouldn't boycott Target because my mom works there and she needs money. So yeah, spend all your money at
you're
Target.
You're making her mom poor by, yeah. by,
you are.
By boycotting
spend
Target.
Your
don't
well-earned
care.
Money at
Oh, my
Target.
God. Molly, you don't know the Target story.
Her
I'm
mom
not,
will
I'm
become
not going
homeless
to retell it
in 5 days if you
I'm sure
spike,
I'll hear it
boycott
someday.
The Target.
You know, ask me, but I'm not going to retell it on the air because I've already done it. But just let it be known that the Target at McClintock and Baseline, they can go F themselves. And Beelzebut, she knows who she is. God, I hate that woman. I'm having a real hard time holding back the swears right now.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on. Let's move on to our fantastic sponsor, UAT, University of Advancing Technology. I'm supposed to mention something. They sent me like some stuff to talk about. It's something about Tech Forum. I'll find it and we'll mention it in a couple segments. Their Tech Forum's coming up. And that's something we actually mentioned on the last show.
Yes,
we didn't know
we
enough
did.
About it, but like they give us some details. And yeah. Anyway, so I'll mention that later. But in the meantime, go to their website, uat.edu. So what do we want to talk about now? Molly had some stuff. You had some stuff.
Yeah, I'll give you guys a couple of quickies, and then we can move on.
That's what okay. she said?
It's possible that yeah. she said that.
It's possible.
So, yeah, you know, you guys heard about the new PS3 jailbreak dongle.
Yes, definitely.
Now, for those who are not familiar, this is a dongle. A device, a USB device.
We should point out it's not limited to just a USB dongle. You can jailbreak it with other devices as
right.
well.
Right. But this particular method is really, really interesting. So I just wanted to tell you guys about it. Now, a dongle is basically this. It's just a little nub that's this USB device, right? And it has stuff on it.
It's
that
just like a USB memory stick.
Right.
For you know,
for all practical
speaking.
Purposes.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. And This is fascinating. So what they did was this is basically a hack for the PS3. Probably illegal. Is it technically illegal, this one?
Dude, it's always really think? Hard to decide, and it depends what
yeah.
country you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, it's really gray area. But one can utilize this to do illegal things, such as copying games and so on.
Yeah. So
if they wish.
Like right now on the Wii, you can plug in a hard drive, back up your games directly to the hard drive, and then play them from there. You don't have to keep the disc around for
right.
a long time.
Or
you can download them from the internet, pop them on the hard drive, and then play them.
Or one can use such a device for more noble purposes, like, I don't know, installing a Linux kernel on top of the OS there and running Linux on your box, because you can't do that anymore, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, so this dongle, like this totally blew my mind. The way this thing works is you hook it up, you just put it in, right? You turn on your PS3. The dongle pretends like it's a 6-port USB hub to the PS3. So the PS3 turns on.
I didn't even
on,
know there was such a thing.
Yeah, and then the dongle says, "Hi, I'm a USB device. I'm a 6-port hub." And the PS3 says, "Okay, 6-port hub, what's going on?" And what it proceeds to do is this incredibly complex and sophisticated procedure. I'm not going to go through it all, but you can find it online, the exact details, of basically attaching spoofed hub devices on several of the 6 ports, attaching and unattaching those devices in some order in order to basically cause one of the heaps to overflow. And for it to be allowed to basically drop this payload into the PS3 at the exact right place where it can take over a whole bunch of insane things that it takes over.
So in layman's terms, basically, you plug this thing in, it confuses the hell out of the PS3 to the point that it allows the PS3 allows the device to put some code onto it.
Right.
Which then allows the device to do whatever the hell it wants.
Right.
Okay.
So I thought that was just totally cool.
You know what's weird is, like, this came out a couple of weeks ago at least, and there really hasn't been that much talk about it. Like, usually I hear all about these hack things. Like, the original Xbox got hacked and it just exploded, right? There was all sorts of news and updates every 5 minutes about different things you can do.
Yeah, it's interesting. I thought that it was maybe just me. Right, but it seems like this and other hacky devices type news is just a lot less prominent lately for some reason.
It might be that we just got older and stopped caring. I don't know.
Yeah,
but,
maybe.
It also is that like you can't just plug in any USB drive. Rich was telling me that there's something you can do to make it, you know, to prepare a USB drive to do this. But as I understand it, like it needs some special chip on it or something that is not standard on just any old USB memory stick. But they've extended it further. Like you can plug in like an Android phone or something or some old Nokia phone with the right program on it, and it pretends to do the same thing. It's weird. I really don't know how it all works, but essentially it's going to open up the opportunity for people to put games in their hard drive. But what's weird to me is, why would you want to bother? Because you could only fit a couple Blu-ray games on your hard drive, and then you're out of space.
Yeah, I don't know. See, the way that I look at it, especially at this point, is that there's so many crap games, I don't even want all those games. Well, I'll just buy the one or two games that are actually worth playing every few months or whatever.
I mean, with the PS3 also, you can insert your own hard drive. So I'm sure some people are putting a couple of terabytes of disk space in there.
Well, you can't put a 2-terabyte drive in a PS3 because they don't exist that tiny yet. But you could do a USB drive, I guess. And if you got a terabyte drive, that's like 40 games because most games are only 25 gigs.
Yeah. I always thought that...
All right, I'm on it. I'm so there. Now, what I would like to see is there's homebrew stuff like Xbox indie games or whatever, right? Whenever these hacks come out, people start doing things that you can't normally do with the system. Like you said, OS kernels and whatever. I don't care so much about that, but some of the indie stuff they do is really neat. Like there's a program called Xbox Media Center, which is just available for Linux.
It's funny, you can get that on a PC.
Yeah.
And it's a great PC application if you use your computer
for
like a Media
Linux,
Center.
Yeah, it just... Because it was born out of the Xbox hacking. Like people wanted to use the Xbox to watch any media ever, right? So they put it on there, and then they said, this is so good, we want to run it on our Windows PC too, and Linux, whatever. Yeah. So now Xbox Media Center lives on outside of the Xbox. And that's the sort of stuff that is born from this hacking.
Yeah, that big old computer I have next to my TV, remember that one?
Yes.
Yeah, all I have on there is XBMC.
Seriously?
Yeah. And that's media.
Fine. All right.
Obviously.
Okay, Molly.
Yes.
You had sent me an email earlier.
I did.
Saying that you wanted to actually discuss something on the show.
Did.
And I'm trying to find this email. Apparently, thinking about violent video games makes you more aggressive.
Okay, so there was a study that a couple of universities, I believe it was the University of Ohio and Michigan, they decided to do this study where... I can't exactly remember because I'm brain dead right now. But how they ran the experiment. But basically what their findings were was that even if you start to think about playing a violent game like God of War or Call of Duty, basically any game where you're going to be killing people, you start to become more aggressive just thinking about it. Unless you're a woman. For whatever reason, women don't operate that way.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Only men?
Yep.
Now, Aura, we had mentioned this before the show, and I think you had an argument for why this study is so off its rocker.
Yeah, well, this is really funny because I think it was on... it was reported by several sites, but I think if I remember correctly, there was... I think it was Joystick or Kotaku.
Kotaku was Molly's favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of them, a few comments down, basically, someone was like, hey, didn't some other study a few years ago completely show that the methodology they used where the second half of the study, basically, after they come back and they play the game, right? They play the game, they come back like 24 hours later, and in the meantime, they're told, you know, think about how you could have done better. And instead of playing the game again, right? Yeah. They're actually engaged in this practice where they're playing this non-video game with, like, an air horn, and they can choose to have their opponent get a blast of sound at their decibel level of choosing. And I guess the higher decibel level correlates with you're more aggressive. And basically, a few studies a few years ago showed that, no, that doesn't have anything to do with aggression at all. You shouldn't use that in an experiment for various reasons.
I have no idea what you just said.
I'll explain when we come back.
Okay.
Hey, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
All right, so we're back. We're discussing a topic that either doesn't interest me or confuses me.
Okay, well,
I'm not sure.
I think out of your lack of interest, you may have decided to be confused. But let me break it down really simply, right?
Can I try to wrap into a shell what I think has gone on so far?
Yeah, wrap it.
The idea is there was a study done.
Yeah.
I just read through some of it that says you play a bunch of games, violent games, and then you think about those violent games. Yeah,
they instruct you to think about. They instruct you on. They say, hey, think about increasing your performance in this violent game over this period of time. Then you come back the next day, and then they had this some kind of measure of aggression. They had some way to test people's aggression, and this part of the methodology was really brought into question, right? So without getting into the whole air horn details of it, right? Basically, the gist is that the method that they used to measure how aggressive people were was not a good method, and it had been shown by some other experiment several years ago how and why that was not a good method. So, having said all that, right, the thing that I find interesting about this is that now I'm not so sure about if there's really a result between men and women that's so different. I mean, we do have the testosterone.
True.
That you don't have so much of.
Maybe.
Right?
Well, you do anyway.
So, there's a biological reason why, you know, you might get that result. I'm definitely questioning the specific results of this study just as much as any other study publicized in the media, just because it's very frustrating to not have visibility into the exact methodology. And then you can't ever take these reports at their face value. See, this is the thing that really gets me. You have to, if you really want to know what happened, you have to go and find the actual report, and you have to spend, you know, the hours of time to research it and to figure out exactly what they did, right? Now, I'm not going to do any of that, at least not right now, right? But this reminds me of something, a similar discussion that I've had, you know, actually repeatedly in years past, about just this idea, right, that like, okay, well, you, let's say like Street Fighter, right? Street Fighter is actually a really good example, right? So Street Fighter, if you play Street Fighter, does it make you more aggressive or does not make you more aggressive, right? Are Street Fighter players punching people left and right in real life? Well, of course not, right? Experts like Daigo,
Grand Theft Auto totally does.
Daigo Umehara is like not going around picking fights because he's the best Street Fighter player in the world, okay? Like, this does not happen, right? I've always contended that people play games on at least two levels. And within this context, what I mean is that first time you play something like Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat would be probably an even better example because the visuals in that game are more extreme, right? First time you play a game, right, your mental model of the game and what it is and how it works and what you're doing is more in a concrete space, right? In other words, this guy is ripping this other guy's head off, and there's lots of blood, right? This is your mental model of the game. However, if you play a game for a long period of time, over time, right, I don't have any experimental data to back this up. This is just my hunch, right? You don't have that concrete mental model anymore. In fact, the more you play a game, the mental model progresses from a concrete one to an abstract one. When people discuss Street Fighter, right, they don't care about how exactly, you know, things look on the screen. What they care about is distances between things, timing, everything, all the abstract, precise details of the game is what's discussed. And in fact, that's what you think about when you start to think about how do you play better, right? You start thinking about it in abstract terms, and the concreteness of the subject matter tends to fade away the more you play a game.
So you mean like the fact that there's blood or not blood?
Right. The fact that there's blood or not blood, the fact that, you know, what you're doing may be represented visually by, say, you know, heads flying off and blood spurting everywhere, right? And this maybe that activity might shock some people in the beginning, and maybe, you know, if you're a little insane, you might get actual direct satisfaction from seeing that, or, you know, maybe if you're just normal. But over time, right, you see that image again and again and again and again, and, you know, it's funny because on the one sense you can say that you get desensitized to it, right? But the desensitization is really more of you transferring your mental model from the concrete world to the abstract one.
I can see that. Like, I remember when I first started playing Street Fighter, like Street Fighter 4 when it came out a couple of years ago. I hadn't played since, like, Super Street Fighter for the SNES. So it had been a good, like, 10 years since I'd played Street Fighter. And one of the characters I played as was Sakura, and she's this tiny little Japanese schoolgirl.
Well, she's not that tiny.
Well, she's...
She's a little short.
She's one of the smaller characters.
Is that why
game.
You picked her?
I've always liked Sakura. But
can we clarify that you did not use Sakura in Super Street Fighter 2?
Yeah. But I've always liked her. I mean, I like her as a character. But
okay.
Anyway,
okay. I just want to make it clear that that is not where you used Sakura.
I know. Okay. I know it is. But so I'm playing this game, and it's a match between Sakura and Zangief. And one of Sakura's moves is that, you know, everybody has a grab move. Well, you can jump on a character and toss them over. It was just one of the abstract things where it's just like, that's impossible, is a tiny little girl tossing a gigantic Russian wrestler over her shoulder. And it's something that you're just like, it's weird to see. And then eventually you're just like, eh, it's normal.
Yeah, it's funny because a Street Fighter player will simply accept that at face value regardless of the relative sizes because, hey, throw is a move and all... It's a generic move that all the characters have, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. So it's the irony, right, is that if that's in fact the case, which I feel as if it is because my intuition tells me so, that the more you play a game, regardless of how violent it is, the less your any kind of violent tendencies that it may bring out in you will be affected.
Okay, let's try that again. You're saying that the more you play a game, regardless of whether or not it's violent,
right,
the less likely you are to show violent tendencies yourself?
That are affected specifically from the game. That's what I believe.
I can tell you that I certainly, like from personal experience, have noticed myself be more aggressive in traffic after playing a game like Grand Theft Auto.
I would
specifically
agree with that.
After playing
really,
Grand Theft Auto.
Really?
I'm in traffic thinking, like, I have to think to myself, oh, wait. Is real life.
No, but seriously? You do seriously?
Honest to God, dude. I have driven, after playing Grand Theft Auto for several hours, which probably only happened once because I don't play that very much.
Right.
I get in traffic and I'm just like I want to slam on the gas pedal. I want to be cruising through traffic. Right. You know, not using my turn signal.
Here's the thing, though. There can be so many confounding factors, and that's why it's so hard to research these things. For example, right?
It's not aggression. It's just, like, it's what I do in the game.
Right, right. But let me propose several potential causes of your heightened sense of aggression after playing such a game, right? Could be that, okay, you're just listening to maybe upbeat music. Maybe that did it. Maybe it's because when you're driving around, right, it's maybe fast or something, and maybe that did it, right? Maybe, you know, maybe it has nothing to do with the game. Maybe you're already predisposed to be that way, and you played the game because you were like that. And the game is just you're playing the game as just a side effect.
It is
of your
directly related to the game playing.
Oh,
because it happens immediately afterwards and subsides very
so
quickly.
That correlation isn't causation. All I'm saying is that, you know, it's very hard to do scientific studies about these types of things because the situations are so complex.
Yeah, it's a lot more than correlation. Like, it's directly afterwards, and it's doing an activity that's the same.
Right.
Like in.
But how do you know that you're not already predisposed to that?
Well, sure, I am.
Because you started playing before the fact.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, maybe you chose to play Grand Theft Auto because you were hyped up that
day. I would love to drive down the road and not have to pay attention to rules.
Yeah.
But I do.
Yeah.
Right? So playing the game releases me from that, whatever. But then, when I go back into real life, I forget. Like, I want to just keep playing that way.
Yeah.
In real life, with my real car and my real foot on the real accelerator. And that's scary, actually, because I have to tell myself, no, not going to be driving through traffic like I was just a few minutes ago in that fake traffic.
Well,
this is real.
Yeah, well, I have felt that that kind of effect from the game Wipeout, right? Like, it's funny because that game, like, that song Firestarter, that song, right?
I don't know what you just did.
Okay, it goes like that, okay? I'm not going to do it again. So... That song, right? It starts like there's a countdown, and you hear it so many times in the game, and I've heard it so many times. And then if I hear it on the radio or on my, you know, my thing in my car, or whatever, I just want to mash the gas because that those like that beginning like 5 seconds of that song is so ingrained to me as like that's the song. This song starts, and the 3 seconds after it starts, I'm going at like Mach 10 or whatever.
So that's like memory. So when you listen to that song, it makes you want to slam.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I mean, that's been pretty much established that, you know, if you experience a certain thing in a certain setting and then you translate into another setting, if there's some similar things that you'll tend to be in, you know, more of the same mood as you were in the first case. I mean,
and I can totally agree with that because I played Vice City the most out of any Grand Theft Autos. And whenever I'm driving around and Rains Down in Africa comes on, I feel like slamming into people and then running around with a katana and cutting people's heads off.
Nice. Isn't that a Toto song?
Yes.
You've just disgraced.
I think it's just called Africa, by the way.
You just disgraced Toto.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to go driving with Molly anytime soon.
All right, we'll be back.
It's funny. The first time I met Molly, she drove me around.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, we have returned once again. That's right, it's Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
Now, as I said before, I was going to tell you guys a little bit about this tech forum thing that UAT does. It's November 2nd to the 4th, so we're talking like a month and a half away, right?
UAT.edu, the University of Advancing Technology?
Yes, yes. So at UAT.edu/tech forum, you can learn more about it. They say they call it a teched-out event that brings together industry experts for an insider's view on networking, game development, software engineering, and other topics. So obviously, 2nd to the 4th is a 3-day event. There's lectures. There are also what they're calling a lockpicking village. I don't know if that's software lockpicking or if they actually set up locks for
that
you to be picking.
That sounds pretty hot. I didn't know lockpicking was in such demand, but hey.
It's a class at EDU.
It's probably some sort of software thing, but that would be weird. So anyway, expert lectures, a lockpicking village, and hands-on workshops, and it's totally free. So just go to uat.edu/techforum. You can learn about it, and I've only heard good things about it. It is actually supposed to be really cool, and it's an example of one of the many things that UAT does that is, you know, not just your classic ITT technical institute or something. Like they do some cool stuff. So
like lockpicking.
Lockpicking. I don't understand that bit.
I heard they do their final down at Metro Center.
No.
As soon as you said the lock picking part, I totally thought of Fallout 3 and like how you have to do the lock picking in that game.
Yeah, there's a lot of games actually.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Oblivion also.
I thought of Fallout 3 specifically. I don't know. That's okay. What I.
You know, Sam Fisher picks locks as well.
I don't care about Sam Fisher.
Yeah, I pick a lot of things, but locks aren't one of them.
Okay, fantastic.
I have something more exciting on than
lock
picking.
Yeah, well, lay it on me.
Okay, I got one of my I got another quiz for you guys. Do we have any quiz music? Any at all?
I think it's coming. Norm, just a moment. We have to prep him for these things.
I know it's true, but I don't do a good job of that.
Okay, so is this gonna be one of those quizzes again that I just kill at?
That my friend is completely up to you.
Molly, you and I have not gone up in the quiz challenge.
We have not.
This is true. This is unprecedented now.
But you know, I'm older. I'm more experienced. I think I have the advantage. Let's give Molly the first dibs on all the questions.
I always get like that sense of being under pressure whenever I'm put on the spotlight. It's just my mind goes blank. I'm gonna try as hard as I can, but feeling the pressure, I know I'm gonna screw it up.
All right.
Okay, well, there's something to be said for unbridled confidence at the expense of everything else, right?
All right, so lay it on me.
So, okay.
The music will come.
So the ESRB did a study. They collected a bunch of statistics on basically what type of profile the, quote, gamer makes up, right? So this is the topic that I'm going to ask you these questions. So let's... Yeah, let's start with this one. What do you guys think is the average age of a, quote, gamer? Molly?
average age? Do you want like a this age to that age or just one age?
What's the average age of somebody who calls themselves
a gamer? Come closest without going over.
No, let's just say whoever's closest. We're not going to do any
questions. Oh, here we go. It's the quiz music. Yeah.
And respond in the form of a question.
What is...
A rhetorical question.
What is 26 years old? I'm going to guess.
Okay, Alon, what do you think? Okay, stop looking at my paper.
Okay.
Right. Okay, I know you've got those eagle eyes back there.
I consider myself completely average. So I'm going to go with how many is 31 years old?
All right. The answer, actually, remarkably, is 34.
Oh, wow.
Right. I knew it was high.
You know, I was thinking it was going to be high, but not that high.
It is.
I'm going to give that point to Alon.
Because of hearts on and free sale.
Alon, you get a point.
I do get a point.
Okay.
That's why I wanted to give her the option to answer first every time.
Now, here's a little twist, guys. What do you think is the average age of most frequent game purchaser? I know this doesn't make a lot of sense, but this is what it is in the report,
okay.
So interpret it as best you can.
No, I can understand that. Most frequent game purchaser age, I'd have to say probably I'm going to go with 45 years old.
Ooh.
Alon, what do you say?
See, there's outliers because grandma and grandpa are really old, right? So it's definitely higher than the game player, the game purchaser. But I'm not going to go that high. I'm going to go... Wait, you said 34 was the winning bet for the player. She says 45.
You're going to make a value bet here, or you're going to go all in?
You know what? That might not be so crazy, actually, because grandma and grandpa definitely aren't playing the games.
Well, she says 45.
Because they're playing backgammon.
You want to go higher or lower?
Oh, man. We've introduced a whole range of ages that was not present in the first question.
This is true. This is true. This is a whole new world here.
And so that took it from, you've got like the 5-year-old to the 18 made up a certain group. Now we're taking more like 40 to the 80.
Can excessive exposition be considered stalling?
No, at
I
first,
think so.
I'm thinking about it. At first, I thought that she went too high, but I actually want to go higher. So I will go with 50.
Okay.
I'm not going to be that ass who just does 46.
Okay.
But I'll go with 50.
Well, you are the ass who is wrong, Alon.
Really?
Yes. In fact, it's not 45. It's not 50. It's 39 years.
But it is higher than the response to the
first
question.
Yes, it is higher, but only by 5 years. So I'm going to give that one to Molly, all right? It's tied 1-1.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to give you guys a couple other questions about the distribution of gamers in 2010. By the way, all of these were just for the year 2010.
Okay.
Not like it changed anything, but...
Wait, so Christmas hasn't happened?
Right.
Wait, I did not know that.
That's going to change your answer at all.
That definitely would have changed my answer
to question number two. Okay, well, no backseas, all right? So, you're tied. You're still
going
in the game,
forward,
all right?
I'm upset. I was not given all the information.
Okay, well, life's rough. Now, the ESRB has grouped gamers' ages into three groups, okay? Under 18, 18 to 49, and over 50. Now, I'm going to have you guys guess what percentage of the gamer population each group is, starting with under 18.
Under 18, so it's going to be a three-part answer, right?
No.
Or just a one-part?
You're going to give a percentage as your answer,
okay.
But know that there's three groups, so they're going to add up to 100%.
Okay.
And you said up to 80?
So
the three groups are under 18, 18 to 49, and over 50.
Okay.
Under 18, I'm going to say... 19%.
19? Okay. Alon, what do you think?
Now, conveniently, the middle group, 18 to 49, the average of 18 and 49 is just about 34. Very close.
You know, if we have this much explanation for every answer, we're not going to get through all of them.
Okay, so what were Molly's answers?
So she said 19%
for under
of the gamer population
under 18.
Is under 18.
Okay.
What do you think, Alon?
Oh, we're just under 18.
Just under 18. What percentage?
The gaming population. And this includes all games, like Hearts and Spades.
No, not games. The gamer population. Anybody who says they're a gamer.
Yes, but you're a gamer. Wait, they had to identify themselves as gamers?
I don't know.
There's a lot to this question.
I know. Make it up.
Right.
Just guess.
If it's the way I think it is, just people who play games,
yeah.
I would say the percentage of under 18 is... I'm going to go with...
They're clapping for you.
For... 43%.
43? Ooh.
Yes.
Well, Molly was a lot closer. The true answer is actually a paltry 25%.
Oh.
Okay.
Of gamers. That's 2-1. Okay, so we know that under 18 is 25% of the population of gamers. Now, what do you guys say to between 18 and 49-year-olds?
I'm going to say...
And this percentage you're giving is a percentage of the entire 100%.
Right.
Yeah.
So we already know it's 25% for the first group.
Yes.
So what do you think, Molly?
So I'm going to say...
There's going to be no tiebreaker if this is the last question.
40.
Oh, there'll
40%.
Be 40? Okay, 40. Alon, what do you say?
Oh, man. So there's 75% left.
What? You know, I take that back. I'm going to say...
Actually, there's 66.6. Oh, no, 75%. Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to say 50%.
You're changing your answer,
I'm changing
Molly.
My answer. 50%.
Okay.
Final
It's questionable, but we'll accept the change.
I will up that and say 57.
57. Ooh, Alon, you're catching tough break. You're strong at the beginning, but the actual answer is 49%.
Oh!
Wow.
Oh!
Molly, almost a bullseye there. Okay.
You went over. I don't think that qualifies.
So the last category. What
so wait a minute. Wait a minute. More people play from 50 to 80 than play under 18?
No, I don't know where you got this 80 number from. There's never an 80 number. 18 to 49, my friend.
18 to 49, and then above 49.
50,
above
50, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
People die at 80. 50, that's why I'm picking 80.
Yeah. 50 to 80.
So basically, there's more grandma and grandpas playing video games than kids under 18. Definitely solitaire counts.
Yes, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Then you
and
have
potentially
to think
bridge with actual cards.
You have to think of all the Sudoku games and the brain exercising stuff.
This is post-Farmville also. Don't forget, post-Farmville.
Yeah.
I mean, how many grandmothers
are
maintaining
their farm? What was your last
farm?
Question? We got like 10 seconds left.
Okay, over 50, what percentage
25.
Of the gamers? 25, what do you say, Alon?
Over, didn't we just answer? It's 26.
Yeah.
26% is the only thing that's
it
left.
It is 26, yes, you're right.
Oh, he got it right.
We were given...
Alon gets the correct answer for remembering from previous questions the correct answers.
We were given the math.
That's right. Okay. So, yeah, there you go.
I win.
Which is why I said it's more than the under 18, which is only 25.
Yeah. She beat you, my friend.
She did. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess I owe you a brownie or something. We'll be back next week, everyone. Thank you for listening. And don't forget to go to Golgatron.com and watch our video.
Good night, guys.
Bye.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.